I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to King of the Road. I'm joined by Charlie the Hurricane Skillen, coming at you live and direct. He gets respect. Here he is.
This isn't going out live, Rob.
No, it's not going out live. It's going direct, and you do definitely get respect.
Good.
But that's my homage to sort of garage MCs from when I was a kid.
Nice.
How are you?
We went to see MJ Cole together, didn't we?
We did. It was good. It was really good. But as much as I could love to talk about garage music, Charlie, we need to talk about indie music. We need to talk about Liam Gallagher. We need to talk about your trip to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And more importantly, we need to talk about your trip home from Barcelona. Anyone who is so far unaware of what's happened to Charlie over the weekend following Liam Gallagher to Barcelona is about to have the best experience of their life. Stay tuned. Charlie is about to take over. And be ready for this.
At least you haven't built this up.
Charlie, honestly. But do you know how I know it's a big deal?
Why?
Because I took a screenshot and I put it on my Instagram account of the text that you sent me. I put it up on my Instagram story. The amount of engagement that got. You know, the amount, I can see the amount of people that click on your name.
Yeah.
Like 300 people clicked on your name.
Yeah.
Who is this, Wally?
Yeah. I didn't get any followers off the back of that.
Did you not?
They had one look and went, oh my God, no chance. Nah, I did, to be fair. Although I feel like on most of my social media outputtings, anyone that doesn't follow me already, I think they've had a look and they've decided it's not for them because it's very similar output constantly.
Yeah, it was so good. So anyway, you book tickets, you're going to see Liam Gallagher in Barcelona. Yeah. This is an incredible experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw him at the Ali Pali. I'm, you know, a huge music fan, all types of music, but like, my teenage years, where I was just obsessed with Oasis, absolutely obsessed. As we talked about before, because I remember one of our podcasts before, I was on the way to see Noel Gallagher at Bethnal Green. But yeah, this was to see Liam Gallagher. Me and my mate booked it ages ago. And yeah, went out there the day before, you know, soaked up a bit of the local culture, you know, in Barcelona.
Not quite. I'm so excited. I know what's about to come. I can't wait for this.
Not quite as much Australia as we soaked up, but we soaked up a little bit of culture. And we had a great time. And then day of the gig, we went to see the couple of cathedrals, went to see the big one, Sagrada Familia. Wasn't as impressed with that as the sort of older cathedral.
Right.
But yeah, it was quite nice.
Okay, and then?
And then we had a few beers before the gig, went to the gig, which I must say was, but before we get into what you want to get into, I must say the gig was absolutely amazing.
And he does all of the old Oasis stuff.
He does. I enjoyed his solo album and those songs went down really, really well. Particularly the more well-known ones like sort of, Wall of Glass, but yeah, I mean it was chock full of, you know, rock and roll stars. Some might say
perfect.
Live Forever, Wonderwall. He played just him and a guitar, which was really nice.
No,
and it was
acoustic, Charlie. Acoustic.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm very good at the guitar. Do know what I'm talking about. And the gig was really, really small. It was a venue called the Razzmatazz. It was only about 1,200 people. Everyone in there was English.
Really?
Everyone there was English. You know, just talking to a few people at the bar while I was waiting what seemed like about a year to get
an Estrella.
I actually switched to gin at that point because, you know, I'd had quite enough beer. I wouldn't know. To be fair, at the gig, I didn't want to get completely smashed the gig, so I wanted to really, really enjoy it. But it was such a nice vibe for a gig. I'll definitely be travelling abroad to see another gig because it was actually much, much better.
Let's go to South America. Liam Gallagher's playing in Peru very soon. Should we just go to Lima?
That's good. I've never been to South America.
I'll put you on the spot on this podcast. If you say yes on the podcast, you have to do it. Let's go to South America in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's in like 10 days.
Yeah, should we do it?
No, I've got a life that I have to uphold.
You're pathetic.
You're a
pathetic excuse.
But yeah, so loved the gig. And then we were so buzzing when we came out of that gig. We'd had a few beers. Like everyone was sort of singing the songs and that. And then I walked back down to the beach. On the way, there was a huge casino. And we were putting money in a kitty all weekend, except three of us. And we didn't have much of the kitty left, but we were on such a high, like, right, let's go in there and get rid of this. And so we stuck the whole kitty on red on the roulette table, and it came in.
So you won a fortune.
Literally tens of pounds. We won. And yeah, strolling out of there. Wouldn't bother me, it's closed.
Yeah, we've cleaned them out.
We've cleaned them out, yeah. Yeah.
You're like Ocean's 11.
Yeah, won about 40 quid between three of us.
So then you've gone to a nightclub.
Gone to a nightclub, it was great. There was, yeah, loads of glamorous people around and us.
And you.
Yeah, exactly. And then what was meant to happen was I was meant to stay out all night. Straight through crew, not the time out crowd. And then I was meant to get a plane to Birmingham. My dad was picking me up. And we were meant to go to Old Trafford to watch Chelsea beat Man United. And none of that happened. Literally none of that happened.
So what happened? So you went back to your hotel room at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Something daft. It might have been four.
But presumably, the only reason you went back to the hotel room was to just collect a bag.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to have a little rest. And that was the end of me.
So what happened? You decided to close your eyes for a minute.
Yeah, and then...
And woke up as the plane took off.
Yeah, literally that moment, actually. It was 7:30, and that's when I woke up. That was the time the flight was just taking to the Spanish air. And it was actually my mate who woke me up. My mate in the bed next to me woke up, obviously feeling groggy, 7:30, and then he just walloped me, going, what are you still doing here? Oh, God, have my old man ringing me. You on the plane, mate? I was like, nah.
And then the second that I got that text from you,
yeah,
I'd only just woken up myself, but I couldn't stop laughing. I was in such hysterics. I immediately screenshot it and put it on my story.
Yeah.
And my story went viral. Like, I got the more views on that story.
It's a good job everyone likes a grass roar, isn't it?
So what happened? So then you've gone to the airport.
I had to buy a new flight to London. Thanks. With Stelios' mob, EasyJet.
So you had to buy a completely new flight.
Yeah, obviously I missed my one, didn't I? Took off without me, which I thought was a little bit rude.
And just flew to London. So you meant to go to Birmingham to then go to Manchester. Instead you flew to Gatwick to then go to Red Hill.
Yeah, I watched the game in a pub. I wanted to get into central London, but there was no trains to central London.
So you had to get a bus to Red Hill.
I got a cab because I didn't want to wait for a bus.
Right.
Because obviously I'd won loads of money in the casino, so it didn't matter.
So funny.
And then, yeah, watched the pub. Watched the game in a pub, really hungover, and it was full of Man United fans, and we lost. And it was one of the worst days of the year. Like, it was rubbish.
You were... the thought of you waking up in that Barcelona hotel room and suddenly realising that the time was so late. Like, you hadn't just missed it. Like, it's all very well waking up at the time the flight takes off. You're meant to be at the airport an hour and a half before then. So you really did miss it.
Yeah, by miles. I hit the corner flag,
mate. Did you panic? Like, as you woke up?
Yeah. I panicked really stupidly as well. Because I was like, oh, bugger. And I was like, chucking clothes on. Left me coat in the hotel room.
Did you?
Yeah, so I had to get my mate to bring that.
Yeah,
it's not quite what I said. I thought it was a bit of a family show, this, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Chucking clothes on, like running out of the hotel. Don't know why, like the plane's in the air, like I'm not going to catch it now.
sprinted to the airport.
Yeah, got a cab and got to the airport, which was really stupid because my mates were only...
And I bet you were feeling terrible as well. You've had an hour and a half sleep or something.
Awful, mate.
I bet you look great.
Oh yeah, obviously. Yeah, God. Which is really stupid because my mates were only leaving half an hour later.
So were you hoping that there'd be another flight to... But what was the plan? Were you going to still try and get to Manchester?
There was no plan at this point. The plan is in tatters. No. So I just bought a flight to London and sat there like a wally
on the
plane. And then...
Okay.
Yeah, watched the game, which we lost, obviously.
Yes, we did. And I think it's a shame because I thought we actually did a lot of things well.
Yeah.
I thought that we should have definitely taken an earlier lead than the one we did. I think that we should have definitely ended up about 3-0 up.
We didn't deserve to go in at half-time level.
No.
But the two most positive people I've spoken to about this game is you and my dad, and you both thought we played very well. And I agree with that, particularly in the first half. But I did find it frustrating how much we disappeared in the second half. I thought Manchester United reacted a lot better to us going a goal up. And I think we lost control of the game, really. And we were playing really, really well. One of the best I've seen Chelsea play at Old Trafford in the first half. And I don't think we got on the ball and took ownership of the game as much as we should have done. And that led... that led, you know, to them getting back in it, changing the game up. We made a couple of defensive errors and they got the 3 points. And look, losing 2-1 at Old Trafford after playing well, generally, is not the worst thing in the world. But in the wider context of things, it's a terrible result. We're now fifth. I think Tottenham game are 12. There's been a 12-point swing between us and Tottenham. We're now, how many points are we behind Man United now?
Well, six.
Yeah. It's like bad news.
Yeah. And Do you think we'll make top four?
No, I don't, actually. I think the other teams, I think our results in the Premier League over the last 6 weeks have put pay to that a little bit.
Mm.
You can afford to lose 2-1 at Old Trafford.
If you're beating Watford.
As long as you don't ship seven goals against Watford and
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
Exactly. And
so do you think we'll do it, top four?
No, I don't. And I don't, it's not going to get
That's
any...
That's the spirit, mate.
Yeah, sorry. It's not going to get any easier this weekend because we're playing Manchester City.
No, that's true. I'm hoping that they'll have a cup hangover.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're too good a side to do
and
that.
Why do they care? That's the other thing. Like, if we get 3 points, that's brilliant. And we'll be really happy with that.
Yeah.
Why do they care about us getting 3 points or them getting 3 points? They've won the league. They don't need to worry about our 3 points. Just give them to us. It's the kind thing to do. And also it will benefit you in the long run because that will enhance the chances of Manchester United not qualifying for the Champions League, which City fans you will love.
Yeah, there you go, Pep.
I know there's your team talk, mate.
I know you're listening.
There's your
He is actually an Oasis fan, so he might well
big
be
Big Oasis
listening.
Fan, big King of the Road fan.
Big Barcelona fan.
Big Barcelona. There's so many reasons for Guardiola to be listening to this.
I know, and at the end...
He's probably at the razzmatazz.
Yeah.
He's probably there.
Yeah, in the same Stone Island coat that Liam was in.
Yeah. Was he in one?
Yeah, oh, mate, it was beautiful, his coat.
Was it orange?
So nice. Yeah, it was bright. Yeah, it was the brightest thing.
I saw
some
stuff.
It was the
Twitter.
Brightest thing in the venue by quite a way.
After you.
Yeah, after me.
After you.
I wasn't very bright.
I imagine that you were slightly sun-kissed.
Yes.
Slight tinge of red, a beacon on the horizon.
No, it's a...
Slight glow about you.
Tanned Adonis of a body.
But, look, I just don't know why City don't just concede this one. They're not going... What are they chasing? They're going to beat the 95-point record.
Yeah,
look, just hear me out. They're going to break the 95-point record.
Yeah.
So they don't need to worry about that. They have already lost a game, so they're not preserving an unbeaten record. So don't worry about that. 3 points will be huge for us in our pursuit to eclipse Manchester United's fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good for them. There is no reason. I can't think of one reason why they need to bother beating us.
No, they don't, but they will. No, look, no, I don't mean to sound too defeatist. We can beat Manchester City if we play to our absolute, absolute best.
But they can beat us if they hit about third gear.
Yeah, exactly. But Chelsea genuinely believe can beat anyone if we play to our best. Anyone. Mm. We proved that against Barcelona. We were very unlucky to draw that game.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll lose in the Nou Camp.
No.
It really frustrates me losing that game at Old Trafford. And it's because of that I don't think we'll get in the top four. I just think we'll just miss out. Obviously, that is capable of changing, and I hope to God it does.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the form teams in the Premier League, I think United are generally playing better than us, and Sunday was absolutely huge. Tottenham are playing a hell of a lot better than us, and Liverpool are playing a hell of a lot better than us.
Yeah.
So
that's what I mean. It's between us and United.
It's just simple maths, isn't it? Arsenal are already missing out.
Arsenal are adrift. It's between Chelsea and Manchester United.
Yeah.
City benefit from Manchester United not qualifying. Therefore, over to you, Pep.
There you go. You know what some might say, Pep, get it done.
What else has been happening? Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been very good. It's been very... aside from missing that plane, that weekend was absolutely quality. I honestly, every week the football season isn't on, I would happily live in Spain.
Do you remember,
I love that place.
Do you remember when you were going to that? Because it was us not qualifying for the... It was us not qualifying for the Carling Cup final.
Yes.
That messed you up.
It was, because obviously if Chelsea beat Arsenal, I wouldn't have been going to the Man United game. I would have been going to Wembley.
Which is so much easier.
I would have made the game. I watched that whole game in London.
But do you remember when we were going?
Chelsea's fault.
But do you remember when we were... I remember walking back to Angel Station from the Arsenal game, when they knocked us out.
Yeah.
And I said to you, oh, mate, is it not worth sacking off Manchester? You know, you're not going to get there. It's going to ruin everything. You were telling me how good you are at, like, on a hangover, how proactive you can be the second day, how efficient you are.
That's all true, as long as I'm awake. Like, once I was awake, I was fine. I was down there buzzing.
It's so funny. I'm not going to do it again, but I could just go back to that all the time. Aside from that, though, your week started off well. We went out together.
We went out to one of our favourite restaurants.
We did. On Monday night of last week, we went to a restaurant in Kilburn High Road called Quartieri. If you're from Kilburn or anywhere in northwest London, or anywhere in London, really, there's a tube network which allows you to leave your area. You've got to go to this restaurant.
Although Rory doesn't like doing
so. No, I don't. I try. I do my best never to leave northwest London. Yeah. But that's just a trait that a lot of northwest Londoners exhibit. Other people, however, you being a good example of this, are happy to occasionally get on a 15-minute train.
Yeah, to see their friends.
And, it's a wonderful restaurant. It's run by a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, and he's a lovely bloke.
I ended up there twice this week.
Did you? You lucky man.
I did. I was there twice. I was there Monday night with you, and I was there. I had a friend's birthday party there on Saturday night.
Mm. It's what we should actually say. It's a very nice pizza restaurant. That's what it is.
It's pizza. Yeah, it's Italian food.
It's Naples food, isn't it? I believe all the dishes, all the pizzas.
Yeah, it's all Neapolitan, isn't
it?
Are all
from Naples.
Yes,
and they're all from Neapolitan ideas.
I think that's why it's called Quartieri, because he was telling me about this. His family, he's English, but his family are Italian. He speaks fluent Italian. Naples is divided into four. Quarters.
Yeah.
Like, and he's called the restaurant Quartieri as a homage to his Neapolitan roots.
Yeah, and all the beers are Italian and they're all nice.
All the beers are Italian, all the wine is very nice as well.
It's a great place, very, very reasonable.
I think the bottles of wine are bigger than other bottles of wine. Genuinely, I'm pretty sure.
Is that just
not,
because you got.
I don't know, maybe I was, maybe I saw, seeing double or something. Yeah. But they, they do seem like particularly big bottles. They're all from, the region. And
but they're beautiful, and there's some amazing pizza restaurants in London, which is great because I love pizza. I love it so much. I had it the next day, because the next day we played Barcelona, and there's a new one just opened by my house called Zia Lucia. Ooh, and I took a group of people who were going to the game, like my dad and some of our mates. I booked a table in there before the game, had some red wine.
Very nice.
and they do weird pizzas, and Quartieri did this very well as well. They do, where it's very sort of modern pizzas.
Well, Quartieri, they did one. I had one on Saturday night. A pistachio pizza.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Yeah, sounds it.
He's going, Tony, the owner of this restaurant, is going to Barcelona.
He'll
be out there.
He is.
So we can have a beer with him there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. No, but there's, I feel like over the last couple of years, there's so many of these great pizza restaurants that have sprung up, and it's all about the wood ovens and interesting toppings. And the great thing is, it's put like those mentally overpriced and not very good places like Pizza Express and Bella Italia.
Yeah.
Like I'll honestly never go back there again.
Do you know the one that I can't get my head
around? There's so many good ones.
The thing that I just cannot get my head round, it's a Domino's or that kind of pizza.
Oh, I don't know, Raw.
No, mate.
That
isn't even pizza, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not.
It's not even food.
It's like cake, isn't it? It's cake with cheese and
I just don't get it.
Shit on it.
I love a pizza. I love a traditional Italian pizza.
Yeah.
And when I was in Naples, actually, this is ages ago, it must be 5 years ago now, I went to the first ever pizza restaurant, and they only do they only do a margarita.
Yeah, sometimes margarita is very nice.
It was lovely.
I'm all for like.
No, I like a bit. Yeah. I like a bit more excitement.
I like something mad on it. As
well. I do as well. I also love a starter in an Italian restaurant. Always very keen to get an arancini ball. Or something.
But I always knacker that up because I go
through a load of bruschetta.
Exactly. I'll have bruschetta. We'll have the meat selection. We'll have some of that cheese. That looks nice. God, I don't want that massive.
You're not taking
pizza,
half of it
home. Yeah, I know. Yeah. There's another great gaff. There's got a couple of branches in London called Home Slice, and they do massive pizzas between like four of you or whatever. And some of their toppings are mad. It's like mint and lamb and with yoghurt on it. It was broccoli on it. It's quality.
Oh, mate, the broccoli thing, is it called Friarelli?
Friarelli, yeah.
I love that. That's what I have in Quartieri a lot of the time. I have the salsiccia and Friarelli. Yeah. That's a Tony special.
Is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Get down Kilburn High Road. Anybody who goes, tweet me. I want to know if you love it as much as we do.
Yeah, it's ace.
But from pizza, so I think chatting about pizza leads on naturally to talking about telly, because the two can often go hand in hand.
Oh, and they do for me.
And I have some wonderful, really, do you know what's happened? When I was younger, that used to definitely be the way.
Mm.
I never really, I like restaurants now. The idea of ever taking anything home is never the right option for me.
I've got to be in a state of laziness or hungovery.
Pretty regularly. Yeah, yeah. One of those two. Are you not always one of those? Lazy or hungover? Which one?
All right, mate. Was this some sort of intervention? I thought we'd done a podcast. If someone served me a Domino's pizza at a restaurant, I'd like walk out of the gaff.
If someone gave me a Domino's pizza at their house, I'd walk out of the gaff.
Yeah, but you know, that's you, isn't it? Yeah, but it's got a certain takeaway quality that it can only be replicated.
I just always go to a restaurant. You know, I'm with Victoria. The answer is never. Let's take something home.
Yeah, I can't stand. I agree. I can't stand the idea of why would you ruin a curry by having it delivered 15 minutes away from the restaurant in little plastic cups?
And also, if you live in London, it's so easy to just pop out for something.
Then they've got to clean
it up. Also, a naan bread. In that bag that they give you rubbish. For a takeaway, it's rubbish. Whereas a naan bread is wonderful in a restaurant.
And then, honestly, I think I could feed a small nation with the amount of those poxy little salads they give you that are thrown away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They give you a bag of that salad. I don't want it, mate.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
For I think you're meant to use it with the poppadoms, aren't you?
Yeah, but who does that? I get a thing of mango chutney, start dipping it in.
So on to telly. I have some wonderful news. I have some wonderful news for you.
Go on. What is it? Are you on a new series or something?
I'm not. No. I am on Netflix, though.
Are you?
I did find that out the other day.
What are you on Netflix? I'm going to watch you.
I am genuinely on Netflix. Later. There's a film on there.
How much I enjoy your company. I spend all day with you and then go and watch you on the TV.
There's a film on there called Shifty. And I am genuinely...
Sounds good.
It's good. I'm in it. I've got two scenes, I think. But it's a good film.
Well, what's it about?
It's about a drug dealer who comes out of prison, tries to resurrect his life. It's with Riz Ahmed. Do you know Riz Ahmed, no. Danny Mays? How do you not know Riz Ahmed?
I don't know. Sounds a bit gritty for you.
I mean, I'm a very gritty man. You're talking about the Kilburn High Road boy.
Yeah.
We couldn't be more gritty.
Yeah.
You know, steam room saunas.
I've seen you send wine back in restaurants. Not that gritty.
Yeah, but that's projecting, trying to be something I'm
not. Yeah, true. What's your part in this?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I play a character. It's quite a good scene, actually. I play a sort of little junkie character.
Oh, yeah.
Who is taking a lot of drugs and playing music really loudly.
That sounds a bit more like
The two drug dealers in the film, the two main characters, Riz Ahmed and Danny Mays, they go to see a lady who next door is being driven mad by this music.
Mm.
They then come to my house and in front of my girlfriend tell me to turn the music down and embarrass me.
Do they beat you up at all?
They threaten me put me in my place.
I was about to watch it. Very it was going to be the first thing I watched if I saw you get a kick in.
But even more exciting than me being in Shifty on Netflix.
Go on.
Something else is on Netflix. It's just arrived. So No One Told You Life Is Going to Be This Way. It's back. Oh. It's here. It's in our life again. Friends is now on Netflix, which is...
Well, that's good because I definitely haven't seen every episode about 10 times. I need to watch that again.
Mate, Friends is the best thing the world has ever seen.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of...
I must admit, and you actually get shunned, you know, in conversation with English blokes of our age, if you admit that you like Friends, people think you're...
No way. People think you're, people I think the you're opposite. Soft. I think the opposite. If you don't like Friends, I don't like you.
Oh, that's you should get that on a bumper sticker.
How can you not like it?
No, I love Friends.
Like, and don't get me wrong, I love a lot of that genre of American comedy.
Yeah.
I love King of Queens. I loved Frasier. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I preferred Cheers to Frasier in terms of American sitcoms. I prefer Cheers to Friends,
I probably preferred Frasier to Friends, but yeah. I still can concede that Friends is a better comedy. So many episodes, such a high quality throughout. Do you know what sets it apart? There's one litmus test that I can use now, which sets it apart from anything else.
Go on.
And that is this. The amount of times in a day, in any situation, where you can go, this is like that episode of Friends, where this is just like that situation where Ross... Mm. You can say that. That is applicable to almost every scenario in my life ever.
I must admit, I take umbrage with your point that there's quality throughout, high quality throughout. I think there's a significant decrease.
There's two moments in Friends where I don't watch.
So
pretty much the entire final series. Yeah. I don't go near that because I find it all a bit sad and I don't like it. And it's not as good. And I don't like, Helen Baxendale's character, Emily. The English girl.
Oh, the English girl.
I've got no interest in watching English girl.
I get that.
I don't like her. This is no disrespect to Helen Baxendale. I know she's a wonderful actress. And I enjoyed her portrayal in Cold Feet a lot. But I didn't like her character at all. I didn't think she was great in it either. She's not very warm. Like, the thing that made those characters so special was that they were all so warm. You could relate to all of them.
Didn't relate
to her on any level ever.
No, absolutely not. You couldn't really see what Ross was doing. Those are good episodes.
Yeah, well, exactly. What are you doing, Ross? You've got Rachel's like really keen on you here.
Yeah.
So's Emily.
Yeah.
Nobody can understand what you're doing here, which is why it's terrible writing.
Yeah, it's not a situation I have a lot of empathy with.
You're going with Helen Baxendale.
Well,
over Jennifer Aniston. Well, what are you playing at?
Yeah, I mean, either, mate. Go on.
I know.
It's not a situation I find myself in particularly regularly. But yeah, no, I agree with that. I also think when they got Joey falling in love with Rachel.
Yeah, that was weird.
What are they doing?
Yeah,
but that is the era of episodes that I'm talking about.
They quite lost their way a bit.
Some of those episodes to me are unwatchable.
Yeah.
But if you ever catch, I mean, obviously it's on Netflix now, so you can catch them whenever you like, but it was always on like Comedy Central, wasn't it? Or E4, it was on for years, like every day.
Yeah, as soon as you get home from college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the early ones, the writing and that it's so good.
And often
the best ones are when they're just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Which is amazing writing because they're not, that you're not deriving the laugh from him like falling down the stairs or something. You're deriving it from them
from
being
actuality.
Really good friends. And you're right, you love every single one of those characters. And I think the best sitcoms to me are always like that, where it's like a gentle comedy when there's no like victim.
Yeah,
like Fools and Horses was like that for me. Like, you love those characters so much.
Fools and Horses is definitely the best English.
It's my favorite.
Best English. It's my favorite. Ever.
In fact, I'd say.
Have you seen my mum all over those?
Yeah, I have. It's brilliant.
My mum is in nearly every episode of that.
Your mum is in my favorite episode of Fools and Horses.
What's that?
My personal favorite.
Mate, we should save this. This is meant to be the Friends. No, you've got to tell me now.
Well, yeah. It's where Del enters one of Rodney's paintings for a competition.
It's called the Groovy Gang.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah, my mum is all over that.
Yeah, and I generally prefer the earlier episodes with like Grandad when they're just in the flat, right over the episodes with like Cassandra and Rachel, and Cassandra and Raquel, I should say. But yeah, Del, Cassandra, and Rodney going on holiday, and Rodney has to pretend to be 14.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh, and he wins a lottery, doesn't he?
Yeah, he can't claim it.
Altered the passport. Yeah,
yeah. Don't bother watching that.
John Sullivan was. You know, my when I stopped acting, when I decided that acting wasn't for me, it came off the back of an audition for the spin off of that. It was called Rock and Chips.
I watched that.
The lad who got the part that I was auditioning for. Like, I did a screen test for it. Loads of God, I can't believe we're going into this. I auditioned for that part four times. I had a screen test with the girl who eventually got it, who's in EastEnders now.
Right.
And the lad who got it was a boy from the In-Betweeners.
Really?
Yeah, what's his name? James Buckley.
Oh, he played Jay in Between Us.
Yeah, so James Buckley eventually got the role.
Wasn't he? He was Del Boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, young that's Del what I was up for. That's, yeah. That was the point that I was
I can far see you being more young Del Boy.
He had a lot of heat around him at the time, though. He'd just come out the back of the Between Us. He was famous at the time.
Yeah. And you also look more like Del Boy than Macy.
I was so excited. Also, I mean, I was auditioning at the time. You know, he died now, but I was auditioning for John Sullivan. It was a huge privilege to do that.
Yeah.
And I really got on well with him, partly because we went into the meeting and we just spoke about Fools and Horses episodes.
Yeah.
Like the way that I felt, like the most poignant moment in that, arguably actually, one of the most poignant moments in any TV series ever, is Del standing on the balcony with a baby Damien.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
That scene. I don't know if any scene has ever moved me as much as that. He's talking to his baby.
Yeah, they're
and he's very
hotel,
vulnerable.
Yeah.
He's very vulnerable. He goes onto the balcony of the flat. Yeah. And he's talking. He's just him and the baby out there. And Del gives a eulogy to the baby about how he hopes his life will progress.
Yeah.
And he's very honest about his own limitations.
Yeah.
And I remember talking about that scene. And it was wonderful to talk to the man who wrote it.
Mm.
And he seemed to appreciate my love and knowledge on the topic. And yeah, anyway, I auditioned for that so many times.
That must be gutting not to get it.
Ah, well, when I didn't, it was the first time that I'd really cared. Like, you know, as an actor, you don't get it. The vast majority of jobs you go for,
you don't get. Yeah.
But that one really hit me hard. Mm. And I just thought, do you know what? This is the beginning of the end.
This is terrible.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Because, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
I think it was 2010.
Yeah, because I remember watching it.
Yeah, I think it was 2010. And, you know, I watched it as well. I thought James Buckley did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant in it, and I thought he shone and, you know, probably did a far better job than I would have ever done.
I don't believe that for a second.
But just at the time, I just thought, God, this is the lack of it, in my head, at least at the time, the lack of it being a meritocracy. I felt like I'd really worked hard and could have done with that. And it was back to square one. I just thought, sod this.
Yeah, yeah, understandable. I mean, it's such a... Well, it's not an industry in which I have any experience, but it's well known as being a brutal industry for that type of thing.
Oh, mate, it's grim. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful industry for Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a bit like a footballer.
Mm, yeah.
Like, being a footballer for Ronaldo is a fantastic way to live your life.
Yeah.
Like, Lionel Messi has a great time.
He can swap with me
That
anytime.
Doesn't tell the story of being a footballer. Being a footballer is going from one terrible northern town
to another
terrible southern town
after
18 months. Like, imagine playing for Torquay and then you hear that you're not going to have your contract renewed. So you've got to go to your wife and go, "Hi, love, we're moving to Rochdale tomorrow."
Yeah.
Like, she goes, the kids are at school.
Pull the kids out of school.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes, you know, and I was reading an article about this, but it's about players in Spain, but the same is obviously true. Like, deadline day. There's, you know, if someone's desperate for a move on deadline day because they're not playing at their club or whatever, or they're not, their contract's going to be up, they can, in the matter of like 6-7 hours, they don't, like, their future could be in Carlisle, Plymouth,
or a different country.
Montevideo.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's and
I know, it's hard life.
And they're not earning. I know people say, "Oh, footballers' wages."
No, but they're not. Not at that level.
But that level, League
it's
Two,
a grand
or
a week,
conference.
Isn't it? Yeah.
If that, mate.
It's a grand a week, it's a grand a week, but you can only work for 10 years.
Yeah, and it's.
Yeah, it's
not
hard.
The glamour.
And that's the same. And that's the same with acting. You know, it's a wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I loved doing it. It was a wonderful time for me.
Yeah.
And I look back on those.
And now you're on Netflix and shifting.
Now I'm on Netflix, but I look back on those days auditioning around the West End. I look back on it all so fondly. But it's hard. You know, it is a tough life. God, this took a trajectory that I didn't expect.
It did. Well, we were meant to be talking about pizzas.
Yeah, this has all gone wrong. But no, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on.
No worries,
I love. Your story about Barcelona will live with me forever. That is my that's my favourite ever Barcelona story, including Torres rounding Valdez.
Charlie rounding the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of King of the Road.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.